Hello, this is Chris with the Bloomington Pentagraph for Monday, July 7th. We'll begin today's reading on the front page, Bible Meets Broadway, Wesleyan grad staging Ruth the Musical at Five Points, Washington, from Washington. More than a decade ago, while listening to a Sunday church sermon while home in Morton for Thanksgiving, composer David Getz was inspired to tell the biblical story of Ruth through music. It was 2011, and Getz was finishing his senior year at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington. The budding musician had just seen the musical Les Miserables, which was all he was listening to, and he thought one day he might write his own great musical. Getz premiered Ruth the Musical 7 years later, and now, for the first time since 2018, the musical is returning to the stage with two performances this weekend at Five Points, Washington, 360 North Wilmore Road. Getz, as composer and director, describes the show as an inspiring piece which brings to life the biblical story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz through a stunning combination of classical influences and Broadway-style compositions. The Book of Ruth details the loyalty and friendship between a woman and her mother-in-law after the deaths of most of their family. Eventually, Ruth's kind spirit is rewarded when she finds new love and happiness of her own. Getz's musical version of the tale features 27 original songs performed by professional musicians, including an orchestra and more than 30 vocalists. When he first premiered the musical, Getz said he was met with a reception so positive, people didn't know what to expect. When thinking of faith-based musicals, you think of true to Bible stories being very Broadway. Getz said, "What I'm doing is trying to first and foremost make a great musical, a work of art that stands on its own feet." And Getz's musical right-hand man, Phil Witzig, said the production is just that. "I get very emotional," Witzig said. "The music moves me, and that was also the reaction of the audiences when they did it the first time. Those kind of reactions, they were heartfelt and genuine." When the idea for his musical came to him in 2011, Getz said he found himself writing down a song on a program given to him at church that Sunday. "After that day, every so often I would tinker with it and soon would have an idea for another song. It's like a model train set. I would tinker with it and add a little more." About 5 years of tinkering later, Getz realized he had too much content for his project to continue to be a hobby. He was left with a choice: either work hard to get it produced and performed or never touch it again. He decided to show the music to his wife, Lauren. She urged him to show it to Witzig, a musically talented family friend. Getz now teaches orchestra at Morton High School, his alma mater, having joined the staff after graduating from IWU in 2012 with a bachelor's degree in music education. He played some of his music on the piano for Witzig. "I was like, hey, if I finish it, will you help me produce it?" He looked at the music and really liked it right away. Witzig confirmed he was impressed by his friend's work. "To say I was shocked was probably an understatement. I was really like, Dave, this is amazing. This is amazing. And yes, you need to finish this thing and do it." So Getz asked if I would be interested in helping with the choral work and perhaps conduct it. Witzig has a background in vocal performance and sang with the Peoria Civic Opera Company in the 1980s and 90s. He has also led annual productions of Handel's Messiah for the Morton Community Chorus and conducted for Morton Apostolic Christian Church. In addition to his job at Morton High School, Getz has experience playing in string quartets and pit orchestras, and he conducts for the Central Illinois Youth Symphony. Getz and Wetzig first met through Getz's late father, Mark, who was friends with Wetzig. Getz said his father was a major inspiration for his own music career. Initially, the music for Ruth was a simple piano accompaniment, a reflection of Getz's first instrument he learned at age 6. But as Getz continued his musical education and learned more instruments, the musical also grew and now includes a string orchestra. Witzig helped to assemble an 8-person choir for the first performance in 2018. The show has since grown to include more than 30 vocalists. Three of the original vocalists will be coming back for the shows at Five Points, two of whom will be performing the same parts they premiered the show with. They include Courtney Hoffman Fry as Ruth, Allison Muth as Naomi, and Steve Williams, who was Boaz in the original production, but will be taking on smaller roles in the new show. I was very impressed with the music and how beautiful and likable it was. I said yes right away. There was no hesitation at all. Performances of Ruth the Musical will be held at 7 p.m. July 12th, 3 p.m. July 13th in the Caterpillar Performing Arts Theater at Five Points, Washington. Doors open 45 minutes before each performance. Tickets are on sale now at the ruthmusical.com online. General admission is $20 and VIP tickets are $35 and include premiere seating and a pre-show lecture with Getz. Illinois housing funding slashed by $14 million. Rising homelessness looms with rental aid cuts from Springfield. The number of homeless people in Illinois is rising, but the state's spending on homeless prevention and other housing programs is headed in the other direction. Facing a tight budget year with constrained spending and limited natural revenue growth, the $55 billion fiscal year 2026 budget that took effect July 1st reduces total funding for housing programs by more than $14 million, including Pritzker's signature initiative designed to eliminate homelessness in Illinois. Last year, homelessness increased 116% in the state of Illinois, Doug Keshall, co-founder of the Illinois Shelter Alliance, told Capital News Illinois. To be in the midst of this crisis and then have the state cut funding was beyond disappointing. Discretionary spending rose by less than 1% in the fiscal year 26 budget, according to the governor's office, despite total spending increasing by $2 billion. That minimal spending growth led lawmakers to reduce several programs. Is it enough? No, it isn't. We know that homelessness is an existential crisis, and the state of Illinois takes this seriously, Senator Adrian Johnson, who serves on a state homeless prevention task force, told Capital News. We have a really bold vision for ending homelessness, and we're going to continue down that path. Pritzker first established a task force by executive order in 2021 that would create a plan for Home Illinois to reduce homelessness in the state to functional zero, where homelessness is temporary and people without housing can quickly obtain housing resources. The executive order did not set a date for the state to reach functional zero, and funding for the Home Illinois is declining by $26 million in fiscal year 26. Pritzker's administration had previously targeted housing programs for substantial increases in recent years. The FY26 budget appropriated $263 million for Home Illinois, down from $290 million in FY25. That was a $90 million increase from FY24, when the program received $200 million in its first year after Pritzker signed legislation in 2023 codifying the Task Force and Home Illinois program. Among the decreased spending in Home Illinois is a $25 million reduction to the court-based rental assistance program that provides financial aid to people facing evictions. Other programs saw steady or increased funding, including shelters, which rose to fund Chicago's One System initiative that integrates migrants into the city's typical shelter system. Spending on housing programs is also down overall, according to the advocacy group Housing Action Illinois. While some housing programs saw increases that offset reductions to Home Illinois, total spending on the housing programs is down by $14 million in FY26 budget to $354 million. Pritzker's proposed budget had called for a $7 million decrease. FY26 is largely a maintenance year for the state budget, an Illinois Department of Human Services spokesperson said in a statement. We remain as committed as ever to advancing strategies that prevent and end homelessness across Illinois. Johnson said the spending reduction is temporary, and the state is still working toward long-term goals that would require more funding. The state is trying to do the best it can with limited resources. Some of the avenues lawmakers use to fund programs also divert funding away from one area in favor of another. For example, the Affordable Housing Trust Fund is supposed to provide funding for new permanent and rental housing, but money in the fund is also being used to increase funding for emergency or transitional housing. We were, in a way, glad to see the increase, but also feeling conflicted because it's taking money from another important housing resource. We had been advocating for that increase to come from general revenue funds. Funding for the Emergency and Transitional Housing Program increased by $7 million, a small win for advocates, but nowhere near the $40 million increase sought by the Illinois Shelter Alliance. The group wanted lawmakers to increase funding by $100 million overall for housing programs. Palmer also worried proposed federal cuts to rental assistance programs will put additional strain on the state's budget. The spending reductions come as homelessness in Illinois continues to rise despite the new program. The latest data on homelessness in Illinois from the October report by the Department of Human Services Task Force shows the state had 25,000 unhoused people on the night of the annual point-in-time count in January 2024, a 116% increase from 2023. The increase is largely driven by migrants who have been sent to Illinois by other states such as Texas. Of those without housing in January 2024, 13,000 were new arrivals. However, non-migrant homelessness is still on the rise, increasing 22% in 2024. Homelessness is also increasing throughout the state. It's up 207% since 2020 in Chicago, while DuPage and St. Clair counties were the only places in Illinois to see a decline over that time. You can argue that we can always do better, but Illinois is on the right path. Despite homelessness increasing since Home Illinois was established, Ken Schall said the program is making a difference. They've created some great programs, and they've gotten funds distributed, and a lot of housing and a lot of shelter has been created. But we have to sustain that effort, and we need to keep making incremental increases because we're not there yet. Data backs that up, according to IDHS. The court-based rental assistance program, which received a substantial cut this year, has helped 7,000 households, and more than 18,000 people were served by Home Illinois in the first half of fiscal year 25, 10,000 more than IDHS prior homelessness prevention program helped in FY22. The problem, according to advocates in IDHS, is rapidly growing housing costs that make finding permanent housing and affording rent more unreachable for more people. A report last month from the Illinois Economic Policy Institute found Illinois needs 142,000 more housing units to meet the current demand for homes. Data in the Task Force annual report that provides a roadmap for Home Illinois shows service providers still need substantial resources to make a dent in homelessness. The state has more than 23,000 beds and housing units for homeless people, but needs about 27,000 more. The task force, which includes advocates, lawmakers, and top leaders in state agencies, says the problem will continue to grow if these resources aren't addressed. The longer it takes to meet these targets, the more resources will be needed to reach functional zero, as homelessness is a dynamic systems problem. Or in other words, annual unmet need for shelter and housing can be expected to increase each year that the need is unmet. Palmer agreed, if we're taking the plan to prevent and end homelessness in Illinois seriously, we need to be providing the increased resources to eliminate that shortage. Otherwise, we're just managing homelessness at its current level. Palmer said lawmakers should be increasing funding for housing no matter what the state's budget situation is, because housing insecurity can be a root cause of other issues that cost the state more money, such as health problems. Increasing funding for shelters alone also isn't enough, said Kenshaw, the Shelter Alliance co-founder. A lack of funding for affordable permanent housing leaves people stuck in the shelter system, which means growing rental assistance programs to help prevent people from being forced into shelters should be a budget priority. In a $55 billion budget, Kenshaw argued the state should be able to find the money to increase funding each year for housing programs. As a society, as voters, as elected officials, we make different choices. We turn our backs on the people who are desperate and at risk of perishing, and instead we invest in other things. My values suggest that we should put caring for the least of these first. Also on the front page, director eyes boost to tourism from Bloomington. Before returning to our hometown of Bloomington earlier this year to serve as the new director of the Bloomington-Normal Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, Melissa Christman spent the last 10 years as vice president of marketing and communications for Trinity Metro, which serves Fort Worth, Texas. While serving the Texas and Fort Worth area, Christman said she realized tourism is not just a matter of putting heads in beds, it's more about marketing the community as a whole and moving forward with pure destination marketing on top of the idea of filling hotels. There were some great lessons learned from that organization that I think could really be transitioned to Bloomington Normal. Christman replaced Crystal Howard, who announced her resignation last August. Prior to her work in Texas, Christman performed marketing and community outreach for a number of nonprofits, including Alzheimer's Association, the American Heart Association, and Connect Transit. Christman's husband, Thomas Crouch, serves as Senior Director of Facilities Management at the Bloomington Normal YMCA. He had also served as Assistant Director of Maintenance for Connect Transit before they moved to Texas. Christman said the goal of the local Convention and Visitors Bureau, also known as VisitBN, differs from her previous roles as it aims to grow the visitor economy. However, this won't be accomplished by simply bringing in more meetings, conventions, and other special events. Christman said she is also focused on the vitality and quality of the community. If our residents are having a good time and experiencing everything that Bloomington Normal has to offer as we're bringing in visitors, then we're going to have that same experience and enjoy themselves as well. So we're all about growing the economy through those experiences on both sides. This year alone, VisitBN has brought in 25 meetings and conventions at local hotels. Christman said the organization also works with Illinois State University on events for Special Olympics Illinois and other events. Illinois Wesleyan University has been great with hosting sporting events too. As long as there's space that's willing to have any event, we will work with them and help however it's needed and welcome events into those spaces. To complement these bookings, Christman said she has met with a number of stakeholders, including local business owners, restaurants, and retailers, to find out how VisitBN can help them. What she has learned from these exchanges is that every business understands the importance of bringing tourism and visitors to the area, and they have both offered and requested support. It's really been a two-way street in regards to partnerships. To help spur more visitors, Christman said VisitBN should be paying a lot of attention to sporting events. With the success of Bloomington Bison and other local teams, sports have been a key driver for Bloomington Normal, and Christman is hoping VisitBN can help make Illinois one of the top five states in the nation for sporting events. The other major tourism opportunity over the next year is Route 66 Centennial in 2026. We're right now working with a volunteer committee of community members that are really focused on what those promotions and activities will look like surrounding the Route 66 Centennial. Summer now sees Black Friday-like sales. America's big retailers, including Best Buy and Target, continue to lean into big midsummer events to boost sales as the back-to-school season begins. Amazon Prime Days is the impetus for the days-long sales, but each retailer is doing things to stand out. We try to do everything that is the best of who Best Buy is, so it's the mixture of every category. It's the mixture of doorbusters, the deal of the day, and then obviously bringing additional value on top of that to our members, said Jason Bonfig, Senior Vice President of Customer Offerings and Fulfillment for that company. The Black Friday in July promotions come as the Richfield-based electronics retailer is trying to regain ground. The sales also come as consumers limit how much they spend on non-essentials. According to a PwC survey of nearly 1,200 parents, 37% of shoppers plan to pull back on back-to-school spending, and 44% are lessening spending on technology. More than one-third plan to buy only items on sale. Best Buy's sale runs July 7th through the 13th, overlapping with Amazon's extended Prime Days offering from July 8th to 11th. Minneapolis-based Target's summer promotion, Circle Week, runs from July 6th through the 12th. Prime Day previously ran for 2 days, giving Best Buy a clear advantage when it came to top tech deals. This year, Best Buy changed its sale a bit to sway consumers. The retailer will also offer Doorbusters, a sales initiative offered on Black Friday, for the first time during this year's event. Like Prime Days and Circle Week, new deals will be available every day. My Best Buy Plan Plus and My Best Buy Total members will also get exclusive access to rewards such as a $20 reward for every $200 spent on tablets, e-readers, and accessories. Target made its Circle Week announcement as part of its back-to-school promotion events. College students and teachers will receive a one-time 20% off store-wide discount with Target Circle. The company also will hold the pricing offered last back-to-school season. This is such an important time for everyone preparing to head back to class or heading off to school for the first time. Best Buy's sales event comes a little over a month after its midnight opening parties, celebrating the Nintendo Switch 2 launch. The launch marked a major sales moment for Best Buy, but the company also saw it as a starting point for continued engagement, both for Nintendo-related sales and renewed interest in the retailer's offerings. It also sets the stage for the launch of Best Buy's third-party digital marketplace. CEO Corey Barry said the retailer is on pace for a mid-year launch in a first-quarter earnings call. The electronics retailer previously opened its website to select outside sellers from 2011 to 2016. About 200 sellers were participating before the initiative ended, reportedly because of low sales and customer confusion about returns. Similar to Target, Best Buy's reboot marketplace will bring in vendors by invite only. Best Buy launched a refined approach to the third-party marketplace in Canada in 2016. Third-party sellers now account for 25% of orders shipped on BestBuy.ca, according to Jefferies. The U.S. marketplace could account for 14% of online sales by the end of the decade, according to the investment bank's research. Canada's had a marketplace for 9 years, and we've learned a lot from all the success they've had. We want to make sure we replicate that in the U.S. and even make it a little bit better. Barry previously said Best Buy's U.S. marketplace will focus more on new products and offering multiple versions of the same product. I think what we've learned from Canada is that there is a demand to go deeper into the assortment. We can see that in customers who are searching our website and looking for a broader selection or looking for a broader quantity of products, and we just don't have them there. Solar businesses fear cuts in federal subsidies from Washington. As Republicans in Congress rushed forward with a massive tax and spending bill, a North Carolina renewable energy executive wrote to his 190 employees with a warning. Deep cuts to clean energy tax credits were going to hurt. The changes would almost certainly include the loss of jobs on our team, wrote Will Etheridge, CEO of Southern Energy Management in Raleigh. I'm telling you that because you deserve transparency and the truth, even if that truth is uncomfortable. The bill, which passed both the House and Senate, takes an axe to clean energy incentives. including killing a 30% tax credit for rooftop residential solar by the end of the year, that the Biden administration's Inflation Reduction Act extended into the next decade. Trump called the clean energy tax credits in the climate law part of a Green New Scam that improperly shifts taxpayer subsidies to help the globalist climate agenda and energy sources like wind and solar. Businesses and analysts say the GOP-backed bill will likely reverse the sector's growth and eliminate jobs. The residential solar industry is going to be absolutely creamed by this, said Bob Keefe, executive director of E2, a business group that advocates for pro-environment policies. Trump's tax and spending bill takes aim at renewables broadly, including phasing out tax credits enjoyed by utility-scale solar and wind. But cutting the residential solar credit will happen sooner. Companies have announced more than $20 billion in clean energy investments in North Carolina in recent years. Etheridge, whose company installs solar panels and helps ensure buildings are energy efficient, was among many in the sector to lobby Republican Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina for the changes in the bill. Tillis ultimately was one of three Republicans to vote against the measure, but in a sign of Trump's power over legislators to pass it, Tillis said he wouldn't seek re-election after Trump said he'd likely support a primary challenger. Now Etheridge says losing the tax credit will likely mean laying off 50 to 55 of his workers. He called the elimination of residential tax credits a bait and switch. I made a decision from being an employee to taking out a loan from my grandmother to buy into my business and put my house on the line, in part because of the stability of the tax credits. He said he'll scramble now to figure out ways to diversify his business. If you require a money spigot from Washington to make your business viable, it probably shouldn't have been in business in the first place, said Adam Michael, director of tax policy studies at the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank. And seething over tax bill, Musk forms his own party. Elon Musk said he's carrying out his threat to form a new political party after his fissure with Trump announcing the America Party in response to the president's sweeping tax cuts law. Musk, once an ever-present ally to Trump as he headed up the slashing agency known as the Department of Government Efficiency, broke with the Republican president over his signature legislation, which was signed into law on Friday. As the bill made its way through Congress, Musk threatened to form the America Party if this insane spending bill passes. When it comes to bankrupting our country with waste and graft, we live in a one-party system, not a democracy, Musk said Saturday on X, the social media company he owns. Today, the America Party is formed to give you back your freedom. The formation of new political parties is not uncommon, but they typically struggle to pull any significant support away from the Republican and Democratic parties. But Musk, the world's richest man, who spent at least $250 million supporting Trump in the 2024 election, could impact the 2026 elections, determining control of Congress if he is willing to spend big amounts of money. His reneged feud with the president could also be costly for Musk, whose businesses rely on billions of dollars in government contracts and publicity. Traded company Tesla has taken a hit in the market. It wasn't clear whether Musk had taken steps to formally create the new political party. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour of the Bloomington Pentagraph for Monday, July 7th. Please stay tuned.